welcome to the NZSA Live podcast, where we share with you some of our in-person events. This episode is a recording of the 2023 Janet Frame Memorial Lecture, given by the 2023 New Zealand Society of Authors Te Puni Kaitaui o Aotearoa President of Honour, Witi Ihimaira Smaila. The title of President of Honour is bestowed on a senior writer and long-serving NZSA member in recognition of their contribution to writing and writers in the literary arts sector in New Zealand. Each year, the President of Honour gives the Janet Frame Memorial Lecture, the overview of the state of the nation for literature and writing in the country. Witi Ihimaira Smaila is a three-time winner of the Watties or Montana Book of the Year Award, a Catherine Mansfield Fellow, and the first Māori fiction writer to have published books in Aotearoa. He is a groundbreaking and accomplished writer. You can hear more from Witi on his two episodes, which are part of Season 5 of the NZSA Oral History Podcast Series. But for now, here's his 2023 Janet Frame Memorial Lecture.
In the old days, Inga wā o mua, Māori lived in an ancestral homeland known today as Raiatea in French Polynesia. We were already the youngest of the world's populations, the Pōtiki, having previously moved from Taiwan into the Pacific, and during an incredible 300-year period between 950 and 1250 AD, we populated every inhabitable island within a triangle that extended to Hawaii in the northwest, to Easter Island in the northeast, and a regular pattern of trading and diplomatic missions between to New Caledonia, Vanuatu, Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, and the Cook Islands. Then we made the vertiginous drop southwest to Aotearoa. As well as physically travelling an ocean below, we also travelled a sea of stars above, navigating from one star cluster to the next. We particularly looked out for pillar stars, which reached their highest points over specific islands, Rehua or Antares above Rarotonga, Puanga or Rigel on top of the Solomon Islands, bright Takurua or Sirius, the dog star, above Raiatea itself. Tonight, I make the parallel of star voyaging with the history of literature in Aotearoa, New Zealand, because our literary ancestors, yours as well as mine, whether they came from Polynesia or further away, were similarly navigators. Of our Pākehā tipuna, Alan Kernow wrote in Landfall of in Unknown Seas, 1942, that they felt simply by sailing in a new direction, they could enlarge the world. Among them was Catherine Mansfield, who in Prelude, 1916, said, "Oh, I want for one moment to make our undiscovered country leap into the eyes of the old world. It must be mysterious, as though floating. It must take the breath." 30 years later, when Māori writers came along, like novelist David Ballantyne, and then Hornetu Whare, Jackie Sturm, Rawley Habib, Pat Grace, Api Taylor, Bub Bridger, Dun Mehaka, Vernice Winera Pere, Pat Heratonga Baker, and Renee, among many, many others, and then Albert Went and Marjorie Crocombe, among others from the Pacific, that's what we wanted to do too. We were never an I, we were always a we who wanted to make the Māori and Pacifica world leap into the New Zealand world. And maybe that old world too. Although this year is the 100th anniversary of Catherine Mansfield's death, it is another of those pillar stars that we celebrate tonight, Janet Frame, 1924 to 2004. Last year's honorary speaker, Tessa Duda, and Tessa's here tonight, said that Frame comprised, with Mansfield and Margaret Mahi, the troika of New Zealand's most internationally acclaimed and greatest writers. Several attempts were made, in fact, to obtain Nobel Prize recognition for her. Three writers, three women. And when you think of Keri Hume and Eleanor Catton, both Booker Prize winners, as well as Patricia Grace, who won the Neustadt International Prize, and Fiona Kidman, who is a Chevalier d'Ordre des Arts et Lettres, you could be forgiven for asking, where the hell are the men? Pat, Fiona, NZSA Chairman Mandy Hager are our special guests tonight. Please welcome them. Nā reira, kei te tua ki a hau, ki te mihi, ki te whare, tēnā koe. Ngā manu whenua, ngā mana whenua, o te whanganui a Tara, te ati awa, Ngāti Toa Tōranga Tira. Tārana ki whānui, ki te upoko o te ika a Māui, tēnā koutou. Ngā mana, ngā iwi, kuima, koroma, hoama, nau mai, kutai mai. I'm Witi Ihimaira, but you can call me him from Waituhi. And this lecture series, Honouring Janet Frame, is a partnership between the New Zealand Society of Authors and the Janet Frame Literary Trust. It was inaugurated by Owen Marshall in 2007, and subsequent lectures have been delivered by luminaries like Gregory O'Brien, Joy Cowley, Marilyn Duckworth, Gavin Bishop, Chris Elts, Paula Morris, and Tessa herself. At the time I started writing in the late 1960s, Janet Frame was the most breathtaking, the most illuminating literary stylist living in New Zealand, a literary stylist. And I modelled my first book, Ponamu Ponamu, 1972, after her first short story collection, The Lagoon, 1951. Within the exclusive Pākehā publishing arena of the time, as it was then, I adopted who better to emulate than the best of the best. In my first novel, Tangi, in 1972, I adopted her modernist M-dash to indicate when characters were speaking. Instead of using 66s and 99s, she used little dashes, M-dashes, to indicate when characters were speaking. Well, actually, way back then, I hadn't actually wanted to use speech marks at all, because I felt that they trapped and imprisoned Māori thought within all of their floating 66s and 99s. But that was an argument that I lost back then. However, in my 50th anniversary edition of Tangi this year, they're finally gone. Part of the continuing decolonisation process I have put myself through. Māori never spoke in quotation marks then, and they certainly do not do that now. I want to acknowledge the Verb Festival, because when the question of where to give this lecture came up, I asked, can I do it at Verb? Even though I have lived for many years among the Jaffas of Auckland, I am still a Wellingtonian who is not living in Wellington at the moment. Ngā mihi ki a Paul Diamond, National Library, NZSA President Dr. Vanda Simon, and Anna Hera of Verb Wellington for making tonight possible. I am home. You will have noticed the empty chair down there. It was the reason why I accepted the honorary presidency of the NZSA. While we are best known as the principal representative for the professional interests of writers in New Zealand, the NZSA also protects basic rights and freedom of expression for all writers internationally. So Fiona, Anna Hera, whenever I see the empty chair, I start to weep, because it reminds me that writing is also about those who are oppressed, like we have been, for what they write and for the people they represent. My surname is Ihimaira. It is a transliteration of the word Ishmael, and comes from the time my tipuna, who were adherents of the Ringatū religion, fought the New Zealand government during the New Zealand Wars. Ishmael, of course, is the ancestor of the Palestinian people. So you will realize why I strongly support humanitarian intervention in Gaza, and why I am so proud that the NZSA, through its affiliation with PEN International, called 5 weeks ago, for protection for writers and journalists there, and I quote, an immediate ceasefire, the protection of civilians, including the release of all hostages, and the end of the war on Gaza. In some countries, you can be executed for being a writer, as was Kyaw Min Yew for pro-democracy activities in Myanmar in July this year. Other writers must live in exile, as does Salman Rushdie, but that did not stop him from being stabbed in New York in August 2022. In New Zealand, you can have rocks thrown through your window, as I have had when my glorious daughters were very, very young, or be assaulted, as I have also been when they were also young. On the other hand, writing can also save your life, as it did Janet Frames when The Lagoon was published, just when she was due to have a lobotomy. If that had not happened, and if they had not seen that there was within this woman exquisite words and exquisite potential, that operation would have gone ahead. The empty chair also represents the manaakitanga from those in New Zealand who are in the room, for those of us who were not, until recently, in the room. Eight branches from Northland to Southland have recently agreed to establish a ninth Māori branch. It's going to be set up in Gisborne on the East Coast next year, and I'm biased, I know, but Abiranangata is in our whakapapa as a major writer. Monty Suta lives in Manatūke. Anne Salmon used to live on Riverside Road. Actually, she used to be a girlfriend of mine, and she knows that too. I used to go pick her up in Dad's truck. It was an old Ford with spider webs in each corner, up to her flash house, because her father used to run Columbine Hosiery, and then pick her up and off we'd go. And my sister, Paul, runs the Kaiti Hub for the writers who will be the cooks for the hui. And I have to tell you that the cooks are the important ones. No cooks, no hui. Which is why I should take a minute to thank the cooks here, Tracy Farr, Vice President in the Wellington branch, for their work tonight. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Wellington NZSA branch. I circle back to that metaphor of canoe voyaging. In those ancient days, it was not sufficient for waka to individually travel on voyages of discovery. Collectively, they had to develop a way of sharing the information when they returned to home base at Ra'iatea. At their centralised temple precinct of Taputapu Atea, they restructured their curricula to enable the matriculation not only of Ariki priests, but now also Ariki navigators. They called their science Tātai Arorangi, astronomy. Very soon, the curricula spread to specialised houses and guilds throughout Polynesia, where crews could be celebrated. Their oral accounts were recorded as karakia, islands and numbers of days sailing between, dangers encountered and where, signs in the currents, weather and wildlife, indicating the land aimed for was within reach, and always those pillar stars, Takurua above Raiatea, to show we're almost home from our voyages. Once fixed in the memory, the information was calibrated to the appropriate stellar guidance systems. Thus, when our ancestors advised Me mātou ki te petū I mua I te kōkiri o te haere, before you set out on a journey, be sure you know the stars. They were referring to the physical repositories of Mātauranga, now mapped up there in the heavens. As far as our literary history is concerned, think of this precinct as Tapu Tapu Ātea, the heritage documents of the Treaty of Waitangi and Aotearoa are here in this building, and they are our modern Tātai Arorangi. And think of the Verb Festival as our gathering of literary Ariki navigators, Pat, where we will celebrate your newfound wisdoms. A team of young programmers, Rangi Marie, Sophie Jolly, Trinity Thompson-Brown, Damien Levi, Rosabelle Tan and Chris Say are presenting 26 events in over 23 venues by over 160 participants. How many of you are going along to any one of those? Good for you. There's a day of storytelling at Pātaka. Pat is talking with Anna Hedder on the craft of story writing and how she does it. And I'm sorry I won't be there, Pat, because I really need to know about how you structure your novels. Whitireia Publishing graduates are holding a wānanga, and Beirut's Bouchani is holding a book club. I also want to drop in to the session on Takatāpui love stories and listen to Kaituhi Chronicles as they discuss potentials of Indigenous futures. And here's the thing. These sorts of festivals, they absolutely ensure that we understand that everything is new, but nothing is new. Everything is old, but nothing is old. Rai Ātea is past, but it is also present indicative. Time can shift space. Wellington has become the new Rai Ātea, where we can share our potential. The new science that we practice is called Tātai Tuhinga, and forward, beyond our ancient future, infinity awaits. But it all begins here in Wellington, our modern day Rai Ātea. So let me now introduce the Whēke, the octopus. I will begin by way of a Māori writer this time, a pillar star, who obtained international renown but in anthropology. He is Te Rangi Hiroa, Sir Peter Buck, who wrote Vikings of the Sunrise in 1927, and Professor Joan Stevens regarded him as being one of the best practitioners at that time, writing in English in New Zealand. And when I was a young man, really hopeless, I mean, when I was going through school, I was 18 by the time I finished school, and by the time I finished university, I was 28 and I'd spent 9 years slaving over a Bachelor of Arts, which I got finally with C minus, C for coconut averages. And my father sent me a telegram saying, congratulations, about time, even the tortoise didn't take long, stop. So when I was a young man, I was totally awed by Te Rangi Hiroa's accomplishments as the Renaissance man of the Pacific. Ducks, politician, athlete, doctor of medicine, DSO for heroism in World War I. Well, as for that kraken, in Greek mythology, it was a cephalopod of tremendous size and strength, a huge squid or octopus. It was born from the Titans, Oceanus and Cheto. And I got that information from my mokopuna Ben, who's only 9, but he looked it up on his iPad. It's actually a great symbol in Māori and Pacifica mythology too. In one story, the octopus was venerated by Rai Ātea, and it had a royal title, Tumu Rai Whenua. She appears in our kupe story as the Whēke who destroys nets and is thus traced to Aotearoa by kupe, and in this way was Aotearoa discovered. But the story that they tell of Tumu Rai Whenua in Rai Ātea is that the fishermen were poaching in Tumu's waters and taking the food away that she was using to feed her young. She led kupe and the poachers away and over the horizon, so as to protect her children and her traditional feeding area. Well, all I can say is, good on you, Mum. Te Rangihiroa used the image of the whēke to symbolise the questing voyager spirit of the ancestors. Its body comprised Rahi Atea, and its tentacles reached up and over the equator, eastward and westward and south, down past the Cooks, to the Chathams and us. His map could also stand for our own questing spirit as we, Māori, Pākehā and others, have evolved our country through its literature. Well, this hasn't been easy, and Pat, Fiona, Mandy and others in the room have their own stories of the challenges they faced. In the case of him from Waituhi, his began when he was a 15-year-old schoolboy at Tikaraka District High School. How many of you know where Tikaraka is? Oh, good. And he read an anthology of New Zealand literature in which there was a story about Māori that was so poisonous, him from Waituhi threw it out the window and got caned for it. He had the same illuminating moment that African writer Chinua Achebe had when he realised that although fiction was undoubtedly fictitious, it could also be true or false. He was 25 when he sought a publisher for his first book, Ponamu Ponamu, only to be asked, well, who will read your books? Māori will, he said. But Māori don't read books, the publisher answered. Well, that book has never been out of print, and both Māori and Pākehā have read it. My career began in the 1970s at the same time as Fiona's, when identity formulation in New Zealand was by default Pākehā. I took upon myself the identity of a Māori writer, unequivocally so. And people used to come up to me and say, what's a Māori writer? And I'd say, well, you're looking at him. I began to write across the Māori-Pākehā binary divide, seeking the same Waitangi outcomes for literature as Fina Cooper wished to obtain in politics when she led the great land march from Te Hapua in the north to Parliament in 1975. My novel, The Matriarch, was written against the background of the Springbok Tour in 1981, as well as my experiences in Aboriginal politics when I lived in Australia from 1976 to 1979. In a wider global context, none of us who were writing Commonwealth literature, as it was called then, at that time were an I either. We were a we, a black we, a brown we, an Indian we, an African we, creating a whakapapa when we, the empire, began to strike back. But writing back was a habit even in New Zealand, and not just by Māori. My mentor, Noel Hilliard, wrote Māori Girl as a Pākehā writer sympathetically about Māori. And others really just wanted our country to be better. They really just wanted it to be better. Ian Cross wrote The God Boy to combat our provincialism. C.K. Stead and Alan Curnow were among anthologists attempting to update New Zealand's view of itself. James K. Baxter sought a new Jerusalem here, and both Vincent O'Sullivan and Maurice G wrote against the prevailing historical tropes in their work. In my own generation, Fiona spoke up for New Zealand women in A Breed of Women. The trajectory of our careers, nationally and internationally, are similar. She has six books published in France. I have five. I don't think that there are many other New Zealand authors who have as adoring a French public for you, Fiona, as anyone else. I still like to think of us as being hitched to the same star. Ian Weddy wrote Dick Seddon's Great Dive, Bill Manhire was our everyman, Michael King, our historian. And in those days, New Zealand was an exciting, evolving culture. Dennis Glover in the 1950s could write, I do not dream of Sussex Downs or quaint old England's quaint old towns. I think of what may yet be seen in Johnsonville or Geraldine. Anybody here from Johnsonville? What's it like there these days? We were as much attempting to divorce ourselves from a British state of mind as we were trying to work out an Atamira, a platform for New Zealand, as a future construct. Alan Duff's Once Were Warriors at the beginning of the 21st century, however, seemed very much the requiem of a dream, the demise of that or any other moi moia. But Elizabeth Knox, Lloyd Jones and others kept writing, and Sam Hunt kept taking to the road, and the country kept producing new writers and poets, and there arose writer-directors like Gaylene Preston and Lee Tamahori in film and television, and Briar Grace Smith and Hone Koka on stage, and Selena Tusitali Marsh, Paul Cleave, Whitihere Aka, Catherine Robertson, Tina Makareti, Branavan Ganalingam, and the brilliant Tuziata Avia. They began their flights and Tuziatas into the eye of the savage coloniser. Ever since? Well, what New Zealand did you want? Utopian or dystopian? Here, there or elsewhere? Real or imaginary? Which history? Which home truths or reflections from abroad? It all depended on what writer you read. It all depended on what you wanted to hear. And now, it's your turn. You are the portiki, the youngest. Unlike your eldest siblings, you are not constrained by what we say. You can do whatever you wish. I cut to the present. And I'm sorry this sounds like a lecture, but I'm supposed to be giving a lecture. This year, I have been celebrating my 50th anniversary as a novelist. Things are always darkest before they become totally black. But let me share with you what the year has been like. Would you like that? Yes. Good. Well, it began in November 2022 by my visiting Raiatea. Always Raiatea. Always my place of literary origin. And then going to the Tahiti Writers Festival, where I paid tribute to Kanak writer Dewe Gorode. She is the queer of literature, or was the queer of literature, for New Caledonia. The career as a writer doesn't stop simply because you're travelling. I wrote the introduction to my latest anthology, Ngā Kupu Wero, in the mayor's office in Ruahine. Pat wrote recently that when she first began reading, she never found herself in a book. In Ngā Kupu Wero, young readers today will find 60 pieces of non-fiction writing and essays. The companion volume to Awa o Kupu has 80 poets and creative writers showing young readers who they are or who they could be. Not just Māori, but all of them. Pākehā. All of those who live in New Zealand, tātou katoa, buy it for your grandchildren. From the word as wero, I came back to Aotearoa to hook up with a television company from France. Well, I hate appearing on television, but they were making a program for Arte about writing in New Zealand, which broadcasts throughout Europe, and it was important, I thought, for New Zealand writers to be talked about and to be known about overseas, not just here. You're all so damn good. I then launched in May at the Auckland Writers' Festival with co-editor Michelle Elvey the anthology called A Kind of Shelter. This was the word as rongoa, as medicine or healing balm. We invited 68 contributors to tell us what future they saw hanging on the horizon. You can read for yourselves what they thought, what they saw. My diary tells me it was then off to Australia to talk with young Tongan writer Winnie Dunn on Escaping the Frame. She's going to be the first Tongan writer published in Australia next year. Go, Winnie. I gave that address at the Brisbane Writers' Festival. And at the time, the 2023 Australian voice referendum was very much on my mind and that of Aboriginal friends. It was, as you will recall, unsuccessful. Unlike Aotearoa, Australia has a long way to go. I guess it would be better to say mine has been a working celebration. All good. I'm a father's son. Dad taught me how to work. And well, I just had enough time to correct the final page proofs of Tangi before hopping on the plane. The book is about the relationship of a boy with his dad. And because I had just been reading about my dad yet again, I found myself sobbing my way all the way up to the Northern Hemisphere. The new iteration of the book is not any better than the first in 1972. That's pure him from Waitahi. The second one in 2004 the learned white Ihimaira who went to university and got to understand a little bit about aesthetics and about how to write a novel. But there's more mātauranga in the 2023 version, more tikanga in its methodology, and more te reo. And there will be more te reo from now on in all my books because I'm going back to school next year to Takiura to learn how to speak and to write in te reo. So, the 2023 book is representative of the mature writer, richer, wiser than him from Waitahi he used to be, and I'm so glad he took the opportunity to do it. Well, sometimes having an international career is all about being consistent about your travel, which destination, under which pillar star, and what other ariki navigators arrive. I flew to Stockholm in June and then travelled to Finland to give talks to the New Zealand Studies Association, my fourth visit with them. And then Pat and I have a strong and important critical base in Germany for our work. They love Pat over there. So a short trip later, I was under another pillar star at Gutenberg University Mainz for their big read of The Whale Rider in German. I didn't understand a word they were saying. It was then back to Aotearoa for a short moi and to see my two daughters and three mukapuna and to find an invitation from a Brazilian publisher to join a book series by indigenous Amazonian writers. I mean, do I look Amerindian to you? It must be my nose. If it is, I blame my nanny Minnie. I'm hoping to launch my book in the middle of their rainforest, maybe next year or the year after. I'd love you to come if you want. There was also a contract from Ethiopia to publish White Lies in an Amharic Semitic edition. And that just about brought the roof down at Penguin Random House because they'd never ever had an offer from anybody to, you know, to publish a book in Amharic Semitic. But Africa has been a major destination for my work. The Whale Rider is still a class set text in Kenya's education system. So I try to keep that African connection going. The next pillar star was shining over Canada, where a special season of Ihimaira films, Whale Rider, Mahana Kawa, and White Lies was organised at the Présence Autochtone Film Festival in Montreal. You know, for many years I taught at the Banff Centre. Paula Morris does that now. Then it was down to Santa Barbara in the USA as a special guest at the International IRSCL Congress on Ecologies of Childhood, another of those television things that I hate, a televised talk at the Kazi Wolf Center, which broadcasts all through California. I finally arrived home after a visit with the indigenous Coast Salish people for another sleep, and then launched the Te Reo version of Ponamu Ponamu. The Te Reo version. 11 translators have given the book a kākahu of kupu. It is resplendent in te reo, even better than the English version, which makes me very cross. Then the Tiki Tour festivals followed at Christchurch, Whanganui, Dunedin and Nelson, where younger writers have showed me up as they will again tonight. All good. It's been fun. But one appearance sometimes turns into three or six, as Paul will know. There are, however, compensations. At Mutueka 2 weeks ago, a one-hour seminar turned into 3 hours, but they gave me a kai of tea. mutton bird and puha. My stomach went, what the heck? And hasn't been the same since. I would happily have gone on for 6 hours. Heoyon no, I have just had enough puff to get me over the Nelson Bar and back to Pōneke. Yay, as Mukapuna Jamie might say, Papa home now and ready to be able to babysit him tomorrow. Release the Kraken. In the 2010 movie Clash of the Titans, based on the Greek myth of Perseus, the god Zeus uses these words to release a fearsome sea monster. The future is yours for the taking, but what shape will it take? Over my last year of travel, I have been able to make an audit of the possible future of writers and writing in New Zealand, and the lockdown notwithstanding, and the final election results still forthcoming, man, oh man. International literary arts or festival events may be bigger and have more prestige, but they are not necessarily better than ours, not necessarily better than Verb. You can walk through the centre of Montreal and find maybe two bookshops, two. Amazon and Kindle have become the ubiquitous online suppliers of the book to your tablet or through the mail. Here in Wellington, there's five bookshops plus three secondhand along the Cuba Street strip, three in Newtown, and all busy. The one bookshop that's missing is Vic Books, so bring it back. Lockdown may well have been the catalyst for our literary opportunism and reinvention. By depriving us of overseas artists and writers, it has forced us to think inside the box and discover our own amazing talent. Janet Frame, in her autobiography, said that the direction of her fiction was, quotes, towards the third place where the starting point is myth. And I wonder, has that been our new starting point in 2023? Are we trying to discover new myths through our writers for a new kind of peoples, for a different set of futures? We have become a country truly fascinated and supportive of our own New Zealand oceanic and rim writers. We have a poet laureate, a reading ambassador. Every year there are Prime Minister's Awards in fiction, non-fiction and poetry. Playwrights are represented by Playmark Market with its own Bruce Mason Playwriting Award. Film and television scriptwriters by the New Zealand Film Commission and Writers Guild, growing new writer-directors to follow Taika Waititi. The Storylines Trust supports writing from children with notable book awards, including the Margaret Mahi Medal. Our main universities all have annual writer fellowships. Huia have just inaugurated a Kerry Hume Award, and they run the Te Papa Tupu Incubator. Other providers include the Arts Foundation and residencies like Randall Cottage, Hone Tuwhare Trust, Michael King Centre, Catherine Mansfield Birthplace Trust, Beachton Fellowship, and Robert Lord Cottage in Dunedin. And the Chatham Islands now has a residency. How good is that? I'm booking myself in for 2025. Our premier annual literary event is the Ockham New Zealand Book Awards with the Jan Medlicott Acorn Prize for Fiction. And overseas, there's the Monton Residency in France that both Fiona and I have been on, and Creative New Zealand Residencies in Berlin and to the University of Hawaii in association with Fulbright New Zealand. Creative New Zealand is the major supporter of writing in New Zealand and also provides publishing subsidies for New Zealand books that otherwise might not be published. Independent and self-publisher imprints are therefore flourishing everywhere, jostling with the main commercial publishers and evolving the New Zealand story. Writers are eligible under the Library Lending Right Scheme for a return on books borrowed. Well, the NZSA and Fiona spearheaded that scheme, and we are now tackling, among other things, artificial intelligence and copyright. You'll love being involved when you join up. So how many of you are going to join up after this lecture? Good. Once upon a time, New Zealand audiences were aging. but young audiences are turning up to see the stars of their generation at festivals in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin, Booktown, Featherstone, Nelson, Gisborne, Taupo, Queenstown, Whanganui and Akaroa. The Kupu Māori Festival takes literature to the marae in Rotorua. Read New Zealand tours writers to tens of thousands of school children. The same but different festival keeps the profile for LGBTIQ plus writers and readers. The suppliers of literature have expanded to include internet platforms like Newsroom and Stuff. A word from Steve Brawnius or Paula Morris, you can become a bestseller or not. The best news, yeah, or not for us. The best news for all New Zealanders is in the new diversity of our writers. The annual Te Mata Tēnei Kapa, well, see, I'm really a very fair person. The best news for all New Zealanders is in the new diversity of our writers. The annual Te Mata Tēnei Kapa Haka competitions puts our singing word front and centre and captures the largest arts audience on television. Huia Publishers and the new Te Reo Kotahi Puka Puka Trust spearhead writing in Te Reo. The Trust is a truly unique operation. Its international offerings, like Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist and Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea, have just had their first New Zealand publication. But in Te Reo, hard case. And new stars are appearing where they never were seen before. Catherine Chidgey keeps making history. Chris Say is phenomenal, along with Carl Nixon, Josie Shapiro, Fiona Farrell. The list is endless. Among Māori writers are Becky Manawatu, with a new book next year. The fabulous Airanga Ngāwera and My Whanaunga Monty. Crime stars J.P. Pōmare and Michael Bennett. And poet Tai Tibble. Ruby Solly, Michelle Rahu Rahu and Etha May Ranapiri will appear later tonight, transcending the binaries previously there. They provide truly eye-popping, boundary-crossing work. Along with them have appeared historians, critical thinkers and writers, Alice Te Punga Somerville, Tina Ngata, Nadine Anhura and Anahera. They have followed in the paths of Moana Jackson, Linda Tuhiwai Smith, and Ngā Huia Te Awe Kotuku, finding ways for all of us forward through the final decolonisation process. Tino rangatiratanga awaits. As my fellow anthologist Vaughan Rapatahana has said to me, the awa o kupu, the river of words, which is already flowing, is now overflowing its banks. New Zealand has truly become Writers Are Us. Wete wete te feke, release the taniwha. An octopus is not just an octopus. It's a way of thinking about our world. It is a royal matua, tumura I whenua. I like to think that she has tentacles to encompass a wider kaupapa that hold us up to her makatiko bamais and asks, what do you see? Gives us a brisk shake. No. What do you see? The mosque bombings made us rethink our values and hopefully to become more humanitarian. The parliamentary incident not far from here brought us sharp to fake news and the weaponization of words. The wars in the Ukraine, everywhere and now in Gaza, are not video games. Climate change above and beyond that was and still is not of our making has made us realise that we have a very precious oceanic environment to look after. So, next steps? Well, whakarongo ake au ki te tangi atu manu nei. The next 50 years is not about him from Waituhi. It's about you. We have never been one. It's always been about whakapapa and growing the pūtea. You must become kaitiaki. You must become humanitarian. You must look after yourselves. You must also look after the world because that too is looking after yourselves. The human odyssey must go on and on. Therefore, tui, tui, tuitwia, tue runga tue raro tue roto tue waho. Tui e te here tangata ka rongo te ao, ka rongo te po. Listen to the voices of the past. They are calling you to unite. Unite in humankind. Unite with the skies above, the earth below, the sea surrounding. Tūro Hawaiki. Tui e te kawai tangata, ka heke mai, i Hawaiki nui, Hawaiki roa, Hawaiki pāmamao, ki te honno i Wairua, ki te whaeo, te ao marama. You are not a global village, you are a global iwi. Join together all your descent lines from the past to all the genealogies you possess, entwine them fast as you go on into the future. You have your own truth, write it. You have your own dreams, walk them. You are the Pōtiki, the youngest. In a world where international instability is becoming increasingly the default and autocratic decision-making controls all of us, your job is to maintain the axis. Enlarging our world may be the only way you have of saying it, of saving it. You might have to break the calabash to do it. Become exponential thinkers, talkers, walkers. Find the ways forward and fast. Chant your ways through the light. Chant your ways through the darkness. Kia hora te marino. Kia whakapapa paunamu te moana. Kia tere te ka rohi rohi i mua. I tau huarahi. May the calm be widespread. May the ocean glisten like green stone. And may the shimmer of sunlight ever dance across Aotearoa's pathway.
You've been listening to the 2023 Janet Frey Memorial Lecture, given by the New Zealand Society of Authors President of Honour for 2022-23, Witi Ihamaira Smaila. You can find other Janet Frey Memorial Lectures, recorded workshops and author interviews on our podcast feed, so stay around and check it out. For more on the New Zealand Society of Authors, visit authors.org.nz. This podcast was produced by me, Elizabeth Kirkby-McLeod, for the New Zealand Society of Authors.